I make shine. You can't feel my face and you can't know my name because screw you.
Because making your own liquor at home is about as legal as making your own meth at home, they're kind of skittish and they don't like to talk much.
If you get caught making your own whiskey or gin, you could face up to 5 years in prison. No wonder home distillers stay hidden.
I'm not trying to get arrested. I don't want anybody to get arrested for something that's not going to cause any problems in a community, something that somebody does in the privacy of their own home.
It doesn't matter if you're in the privacy of your own home, says moonshine expert and author Matthew Rowley.
You can, in America, distill nothing at home, not one single drop.
But beer is completely different. Home brewers enjoy the freedom to make whatever they want, however they want. This allows for innovative microbreweries like this one in Santa Rosa to emerge.
USA, best beer ever!
Opening up the distiller's equivalent of a microbrewery isn't impossible, but the law makes it very hard.
There are some states that don't allow small craft distilling. We're lucky to be in California where they do allow it.
Yusuf Cherney spent years running the successful Ballast Point microbrewery before opening San Diego's first and only distillery. Even here, the law keeps the two worlds separate. Beer is out in the open. But the distilled spirits are hidden away in this room that's made to look like a Prohibition-era speakeasy.
We've got kind of a 1920s decor in here, the tin ceiling, some old antique furniture.
The decor is appropriate because in some important legal ways, distillers are still stuck in the 1920s. Red tape and expensive permits make it hard for regular guys to open up micro-distilleries. And even if the regular guys had the time and money to open up a full-scale distillery, the ban on home distilling would make it hard for them to have the know-how.
The current laws that prohibit home distillation tend to inhibit the craft distiller from practicing their craft before they jump into a business. You wouldn't think of a chef opening up a restaurant without already making food at home.
Despite the prohibitions, moonshine is gaining popularity and reaching new audiences. Homedistiller.org is a site where distillers get together to share new recipes and distilling techniques, and it hosts more than 6,000 registered members.
There's a great spirit of adventure, and people make really interesting stuff.
Max Wattman is active in the home distilling movement and wrote this book about moonshine.
There are no rules on what you can do. You can cross brandies and rums, and you can make things out of basil, and you can make it out of anything. You can do anything you want.
When you get down to it, we just enjoy living life and shine.
These are some of the most proud people you're going to meet. They're really delighted at what they've created, and they send me bottles of their stuff. Just their buttons are bursting. They're so proud.
They just show up in the mail, a bottle with sports water, I don't know, and whiskey.
Because you haven't drank it, you haven't experienced it, who are you to say it's wrong?
But we always hear that moonshine is dangerous, that it makes you go blind.
Properly made moonshine is no more danger than properly made cornbread. Done well, it's fantastic stuff. Done poorly, it might not be something you want to drink, but in general, if it's not adulterated, it's not going to be bad for you.
It's not the moonshine that's inherently dangerous. It's the black market.
Once you create a black market, you create a criminal class capitalizing on that black market. You got a crowd of people who are more interested in making money than they were in making whiskey. That's going to degrade the process.
In a free and open society, we don't need a reason to make things legal. What we need are reasons to make things illegal.
Does the government have a convincing reason to keep raiding distillers?
I don't think it really has anything to do with the thought process of really what the damage is going to be to the person. It's more of a how are we going to tax this correctly.
The very first tax levied on the American citizen was a tax on whiskey. And so we're really dealing with laws written by Alexander Hamilton and George Washington. And it remains.
This is an actual distillery. The officers spike a carefully planned attempt to defraud the government of taxes.
The result of outdated liquor regulations? A market dominated by a few big names, like Jack Daniels and Jim Beam.
I would like to see as many micro distilleries as there are brew pubs and micro breweries around the country, because then we're going to start to see a lot more really interesting spirits.
One of the unmatched moonshines I've ever had was a batch of moonshine that had been made out of tomatoes. It smelled like brushing up against a tomato plant in the middle of summer. It was wonderful. It absolutely just had August in a jar written all over it. I never found anything as good as that. I've been looking.
But unless the laws change, most of us will never have the chance to taste anything like Wattman's tomato moonshine.
We should be free to do this. As long as we're not harming anyone, why not distill? In order for the home distillers to get their hobby legalized, they're going to have to come out into the open. They're going to have to talk about what they do. They're going to have to organize. And what is the spark that makes them realize this is what they have to do? I don't know.
Why, when you enjoy something, would you want to talk about it openly when you know that you could possibly be arrested for it? There's no harm, there's no foul. You know, screw the law.
Look to the right over the fields and a setting sun sky. Within the place all things begin for some truth. Truth is breathing in everything.